This is firefighter Raphael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards helping first responders. Try the new pastrami Reuben, loaded with hot pastrami, sweet and tangy slaw, and melted Swiss. For a limited time, get a medium pastrami Reuben for just $6.39. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Think you're too busy to train for a new career? Virginia College offers career training designed for you. The family provider, the busy mom, the time crunched, the double shift worker. Whoever you are, no matter how busy you are, if you want a new career, a better life, we can help make it work. With work, with family, with life. Get started today at Virginia College. Visit vc.edu. Learn at the speed of life.
Live, man, Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network. And, man, I've got a show for you, you. We're going to talk about aliens. And better yet, we're going to talk about ghosts. And even better yet, we're going to talk about dimensional energy and the connections in the paranormal world. Because this is a show that talks about everything paranormal. And if you guys know me, you know that I've got the kind of brain that likes to see things for itself. You know, I don't like evidence, other people's evidence per se. Like when people show me footage, you know, like, look at this. If I trust a source, and that's the whole thing. I have a discussion going on right now, back and forth with a good friend of mine in Australia who goes over paranormal evidence. He's at a university and, you know, they take evidence from people and then they check it out. They do their own investigation on the evidence, what they think it could be and whatever, which is cool, which is fun. So in this case, we're talking about the source. And I said, the problem is, man, if you don't know the source, you just have to believe people, take people's word for it. And you've seen like videos on YouTube of like, hey, look at this paranormal activity, and they get shared to other social media, Facebook and all that. You see a chair like sliding across the room, and then like, you know, the cabinet doors are opening, closing, slamming, things falling out, and people are like, whoa, man, look at that freaking ghost. But I'll tell you, these are people with fishing lines, and they're manipulating these other things by pulling them. You can't see the fishing line, and it's fake. And I'll tell you, 95% of this stuff is fake, but then that 5% is absolutely real. And I can tell you that it's real because I have my own paranormal evidence. I have my own pictures. I have my own experiences. I have my own EVPs. I know what they are because I'm the one that did it. I was the one that was there. And we do an investigation. We know what we're saying. We know the noises we're making, and we know that when we're getting full sentence responses or even single word responses to things that we're saying, you know, we know what we're dealing with, but especially getting amazing pictures. So the problem with UFOs, aliens, not even UFOs, UFO just means unidentified flying object. It really, that's all that it means. It could be anything. I'm talking about extraterrestrial life or other than terrestrial life. Now, man, I am on United Public Radio Network. There are a lot of brains on the alien thing, people that really know their stuff. Joe Montaldo, for instance, you know, knows some stuff for aliens. A wealth of information, as a matter of fact. If I want to know anything alien, I just have to ask him because he knows a whole thing, right? There's other people on that do their shows, you know. I think that some people get so into it, they might lose a little bit of sight or want to believe something. Like, ooh, look at this evidence. And it's not even a belief. I believe in extraterrestrial life. And I also believe in other terrestrial life. And I believe that we humanoids on this planet are also extraterrestrial life, that we came from somewhere else. There's a lot of evidence that points to it. There's a lot of evidence that points to Mars, that there was a civilization there, and at some point, something happened there where people couldn't live there anymore, and then they had to go somewhere else. So If you go online and type in CIA Mars psychics, you're going to read this declassified report from the CIA on the fact that they hired these mediums, these psychic mediums, to map out the surface of the Mars, to give them an idea of what Mars looked like a million years ago, for instance. You know, I mean, talk about all these things. And then here's the agent giving coordinates, nothing but coordinates, to the psychic. So imagine you're the psychic sitting there, and this person's just saying, you know, here's the coordinates, blah, 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 not telling you anything. And then in the very first, one of the first lines, if you're familiar with the face of Cydonia, whatever you want to call it, it kind of looks like a laying in the ground sphinx type of face. And right close to it are these pyramid type objects. They look like pyramids, right? With a lot of dust on them, you know. So the first coordinates was that. And the psychic's like, I'm seeing small pyramids, and I'm seeing, you know, like he starts describing the area. That's amazing. And I take that as evidence. I take that as for real. I take that as you have a government agency, the CIA, which really, this is quite a while ago, so really at the time, the CIA didn't really have a sense of humor when it comes to aliens or anything else for that matter. I still don't think that they do. I don't think that the CIA is the agency that it was. I don't think that any of these agencies are. You know, they've all been politicized. But in their quest for information, they did this. Somebody came up with the idea of sitting down with these mediums to map the surface of Mars. And then at one point, the agent asked this medium, like, hey, go back a million years. I want you to tell me what you see. And he's like, I see streets. I see people walking. And he described what they looked like, that they were tall, and that they had, the different the clothing they're wearing or whatever. To me, as I really have zero tolerance for bullcrap, you know. And I think that because I'm a private investigator in my real life, I don't have any time for people's bullcrap. I don't want to hear stories. I want to see evidence. I want to understand what I'm dealing with, and I want to know how it can help me in my current life. So that's really what evidence all is, and anything that you're getting into is how can it help us. And so, if you say to me, well, you know, if you're proving that ghosts exist and all this other stuff, you know, how does that help us in our present life? You know what? It gives us an example that there's an afterlife, an after effect, that energy goes somewhere. And then with all the information that's out there, and I mean there is a lot, you can't refute the fact that people are talking about leading a good life and going to a good place, right? Whether you believe in hell or not, whether you believe in heaven or not, doesn't really matter. It matters with you and what kind of person you are and where you want to go. So, of course, you know, in our earth, in our world, a lot of people are religious. A lot of people are religious. I mean, you know, Christianity and Muslim and, you know, Judaism, all that. People want to believe. They want to believe in a higher power. They want to believe in another level. But let us not think of a higher power as one person sitting there making all these decisions. You have to think that if something like that would ever exist, it would be a network. And then that network, that network of energy is going to take you to higher levels, right? So I don't want to get into talking about past lives or dreams of future lives or any of that. I mean, I have that. I have dreams of future lives. I don't know whether it's the future life or whether it was some other place, but I have had consistent dreams throughout my life through certain periods of time where I've dreamt of a futuristic society where, you know, I can describe the clothing of the people, whatever. No rhyme, no reason for these dreams, and I know our brains can go in any direction, especially once we go to sleep, and if something's bothered you or on your mind or whatever, what I keep stress at a minimum in my life. But when I do encounter stress, I handle it very well. So it's not like something that is going to knock me down. It's just, you know, when you're faced with adversity, you want to tell yourself it's a process. And just like, you know, when my mom was diagnosed with cancer last October, you know, everybody was flipping out. Her, you know, I was very around her, myself, my sister. And then I kind of broke it down and said, hey, it's a process. You know, chemotherapy and all the things you got to go through, it's a process. You know, you have to think of that end point of when all that stuff's going to be over and done with. But also you have to get through the process and pay attention to that as it's going on. So I think all of life can reflect that process, no matter what it is. You know, it could be a flower growing or a tree. It could be something, I don't know, anything. Anything you mentioned. Anything in our 3D reality, right? Our 3D reality. And that brings me into dimensional energy. So dimensional energy is real. Dimensional energy is a fact. There's dark energy, there's matter, there's antimatter. There's things that form our universe, you know, and without that dark matter, without that dark energy, everything that you see before you, your car, your house, your cat, your dog, yourself, all those little molecules, all those things would be just everywhere, spread across, one big slimy slurry of existence. You know what I mean? So when you look at dark matter and dimensional energy, dark matter and all that, you look to that as shaping, forming. Now, I'm really heavily into Taoism. You know, Taoism is not a religion. Taoism was tried to make it a religion, but to me, it all makes sense. And it's a philosophy that I like to go by. And I like to, the basic gist of it is, I like to refer to it when I experience these things in life. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, Lao Tzu said that, or Lao Tzu said so-and-so. And I can kind of link it up, and it helps. It's like a healing story for people when you sit down and talk to them, saying that, you know, if someone's going through something, they're not the first person to go through it, number one. And number two, if you have the support around you, the love around you, no matter what that thing is that you're going through, you're going to get through it no matter what, right? So anyway, when I think of the universe, and I think of dark matter and, you know, all that, I think of yin and yang, and I think of the relationship between the two. That yang's the force that we move with, yin's the force that allows us to move. Without one or the other, you're not going to have that movement. It's not going to happen. And I think that that's just kind of a nice analogy of the universe and how things work in general, right? So every move deserves a counter move. And then that's energy. And then that dark energy swirls around. And then other types of energy swirl around. This is only the dimension that we experience. Three dimensions, right? You know, that we're talking about right now. But what about the fourth dimension? When you start talking about the fourth dimension, even just scratching the surface, it's mind-blowing. I'll tell you, look to Carl Sagan. I love Carl Sagan. I used to hang out with his father-in-law, Harry, here in Ithaca. And we talk about science. You know, we'd end up meeting up at Cornell. If Cornell had anything to do with science, I'd show up, pick people's brains, bust their balls, whatever you want to call it. And Harry was there basically doing the same thing. So we'd end up talking sometimes for hours afterwards just about that dimensional energy, and see each other around town, have some coffee, and talk about other things. So I want to read this to you just to kind of give you the idea of what I want to talk about and what we are talking about, right? So in the year 2000, two separate teams discovered that the universe is accelerating. They discovered that that there is an anti-gravity force repelling the force of gravity generated by our universe. The anti-gravity force is Albert Einstein's cosmological constant. It is also the void of space. In other words, the void of space is energy, dark energy, and it is pushing against our universe. It is also winning the battle, since dark energy accounts for 74% of the energy in the cosmos, thus the acceleration. Now, I'm going to start throwing questions out for you guys, and then you can think of them in your free time this week, right? I'm going to throw this out there. In our world, if something expands, it will soon contract. Do you think that at some point, as space gets to a certain point when it has expanded enough, that it will have some kind of contraction? And if that's true, what do you think would happen from that? So, the discovery of the accelerating universe is what James Burke would call the day the universe changed, or what Thomas Kuhn would call a paradigm shift. As we now know, the matter is not only energy in the cosmos. That is not the only energy. So dark energy is not material, non-three-dimensional energy. It is the antithesis of matter, but it is the energy, and it is a part of our world, just like yin and yang, right? Just like in the first depiction, I guess, of yin and yang was two fish swimming together, you know, in harmony, see that? So gravity seems to be a similar energy as is time. It would seem they are non-material, non-three-dimensional energies all around us, and can be observed working in and influencing the physical world. So, of course, what would we have here on this planet without gravity? We wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a hell of a lot going on. I mean, gravity is a huge part of what we're made of, right? And then we know that when we leave this planet in physical form as human beings, our bodies change, and they even age faster, and our muscles start to turn to mush. And when you see these astronauts that have done deep spacewalks or been up there for a long time, they have physical problems now. And it's taken one guy, man, he just came back and taken him a long time to even get to the point where he can function properly. And he's lost a big part of his, his pulmonary system and everything is taking a hit, you know, so he's lost a part of himself because he was up there in orbit. And that's just orbit. You know what I mean? That's like just inner space. That's not even like outer space. So we beings on this planet in our physical form is really like we're kind of stuck here. You know, there's not a lot, unless you can create the conditions that we need to exist here on Earth in a spaceship or out in space, unless you could do that, then we're not going to be able to travel through space unless you can start, you know, folding space or having some kind of gate or portal that you can go through, you know, an electric portal, which has been suggested by a lot of people, not just sci-fi people, but a lot of scientists, right? Okay. All right, I'm going to read this. The problem with unity. Our view of the universe is currently based on the standard model. And the standard model of the universe is based on four fundamental forces. Strong force, weak force, electromagnetic force, and the force of gravity. Strong force deals with the nucleus of an atom. Weak force deals with the electron cloud surrounding the nucleus. Electromagnetic force deals with photons and magnets. The force of gravity deals with the attraction of large bodies of matter. These fundamental forces are the initial conditions of the existence of the universe, and we have been searching for a unified theory which can explain these forces, thus explain our existence as well. The grand unified theory is the idea that these four forces can be summoned up in a single equation. In the standard model, weak force and electromagnetic force become one at high temperatures. The electroweak force, the strong force, unite at extremely high temperatures. The problem with unification is that these three forces is the problem with gravity. It won't allow it to happen, right? So the problem with gravity is that it does not seem to exist. The predictability of how gravity works was begun by Galileo throwing objects off the tower, and then summed up by Isaac Newton. Gravity was understood on a cosmological scale by Albert Einstein and continues with Stephen Hawking's black hole consumption. We know a lot about how gravity works, but even after 500 years, we know nothing about why gravity works. So I'll tell you this. There's this thing called centrifugal force. And even though it's something that occurs within our gravity, you know, when you have like a bucket of water, for instance, and you take that bucket of water and you start flinging it around, the water ends up staying in the bucket because of the force that you're using to fling the water around, right? So if you hold the bucket upside down with water in it, of course, all the water is going to come out of the bucket because there's nothing holding it in place. So you can kind of look at it like that. But in our world, and these are great minds, sure, Albert Einstein, you know, Stephen Hawking, the jury's out on Stephen Hawking. I'm not going to kick the guy too hard because he passed away just recently. But I'll tell you, is the science that he's a theoretical science, and what he suggested was just he latched on to other people's work and then threw his own thoughts in there. I don't kind of take that as scientists. Nikola Tesla to me is a scientist. Somebody who actually works and produces results and not just theoretical science. Theoretical science is great. You have to have it because it gives you maybe a direction to go in and that type of thing. But I'll tell you where it fails on a lot of levels, okay? Complacency. You know, we human beings, I'll tell you, Carl Sagan, we human beings, we people of the earth, earthlings, get lazy really quickly. And necessity is the mother of invention, right? Now we have electricity, have it in our homes, you know, light bulbs, all that. The light bulbs, some of the technology's changed. You know, just recently, after all these years, people are using LED lights, which use very little electricity, can give off more light, last a lot longer, I am told, not in my house. They burn out just as quick. But the interesting part is, and all right, I'll start with this before I go there. I just read an article about how these mining companies are gearing up to go out into space and not just mine gold, but mine other things too that could help us here on this planet, for instance, other things, crystals, whatever, that we have not encountered before that could have their own properties to produce some kind of energy. So energy. And I've often said that the first companies in space are all going to be mining companies. You know, people are like, it's going to be all leisure, you know. Leisure will come after. You'll be able to go to Mars one day probably and kick up your heels, sit by a pool under an enclosure, right? Like a gerbil in one of those little habitats, man, running around. And humans are very simple. I'm going to get deep in the show, man. I don't know if you guys can handle this. I'm going to get deep because I'm going to talk about also people, humans, and why we think we're so important. And if you think you're so important, what are you doing for the world? What are you doing to make your mark in a good way, you know? So, all right, mining companies going into space, you got to look at electricity as electricity. It's energy. But there's other energy, too. And we've seen other energy, natural occurring energy throughout nature, even from natural sources, you know. And, like, look at the sun. Creates heat. Heat is energy. And then now they have, you know, solar panels and that type of thing, and they're getting better. They were terrible. They're getting a lot better now, more efficient. You know, there's wind power, there's even water power. If you live near running water, you can put these systems in there and the little turbines turn, right? Got to clean them out a lot. So I'm into that type of energy. But then I think that there's also other types of energy that you can create. There's types of this magnetic energy that you can create. And I think that there's a lot of things that can be done just because we already have electricity. People aren't necessarily looking. They're looking at ways to make electricity, but not ways of creating energy. necessarily. So we could talk about antimatter, because there's matter, there's antimatter. Now, in the Hadron Super Collider, when they start collecting antimatter, it's really unstable, doesn't last very long. It has to be suspended in a magnetic chamber, because if antimatter touches matter, boom, you have a huge explosion. But practicing with antimatter is a way of obtaining that energy, right? I am told by certain scientists at Cornell that if you had a nickel's worth of antimatter, I mean, the size of a nickel, an American nickel, that that'd be enough energy to launch a space shuttle into space 30 times. And you're like, wow. Can you imagine that? So my answer to that is, well, how do you control something like that? How do you control that type of energy without it going off scale? And how do you keep that type of energy out of people's hands who are crazy, who are nuts, who are terrorists, who whatever, who seek to do other people harm, or other countries that want to have an upper hand? You see, this is our problem. When it comes to extraterrestrial life, any evolved life above ours knows that about us. And they know that if we have this great technology, humans are still primitive enough to use it and hurt others. We see this in daily life. We see it all the time. The guy just used a van to drive over a bunch of people in Toronto, killing them for some stupid ideology. Meanwhile, it's twisted. They should all be supporting each other. How about we support each other as people? We help each other do well. We go forward, and we be the best that we can for one another, right? And then when other people do well, you're happy. You get happy about it. You don't sit there and get all jealous. You're happy. You're supportive. But that hasn't happened yet. So, getting off of dimensional energy for a minute, are there aliens among us? And what the hell did ghosts have to do with it? Because I mentioned ghosts. So my paranormal investigations, they weren't dealing with spaceships or anything like that, right? I'm dealing with places where people have passed away and part of them is still there. And that's like the best way to say it. All of them is not there. Part of them is still there. And they exist on a plane just above ours. They can communicate through a limited way. I don't know what their level of consciousness is, but I know that I've had conversations that went back and forth, recorded conversations with entities that were not in the room. And these were people that had a message, or they were earthbound, and there's a lot of different energy out there. So, and then you think of these aliens, right? Extraterrestrial life. And how many different species of people? Because look at our planet, look at the different levels of life on the planet. I mean, man, from the bacteria level all the way up, there's a lot. Do you think that the universe is not like that? Do you think that the universe doesn't reflect that? Because, all right, like the Prophet Muhammad, for all you Muslims out there listening to me, the Prophet Muhammad was visited by the Archangel Gabriel, who took Muhammad into space. Took him on a spaceship, you know, and basically showed him the earth, showed him the past, the present, the future, and then took him out in the universe and showed him other civilizations. Imagine that happening to you. Imagine you be this guy, and then all of a sudden you go on this journey. And no matter how you want to, you can say it's an angel, you can say whatever. Let's just talk about the experience. Somebody shows up. You're coming with me, you take off, you go, they basically show you this timeline of history from once to you know, whatever, the future. Past, future. Past, present, future. Other civilizations giving you the understanding of the universe. Do you think if you had the understanding of the universe, you would be able to guide people and show them a direction to go and not in a direction of selfishness, you know? I like using the term, what would Jesus do? You know, it's kind of, it's not, I mean, like, my level of religion, and if you listen to the show, you know, you've heard me kick the Pope more than one time, but the Pope doesn't represent Jesus Christ. The Pope represents money. I'm not going to ever not say that, because that's what the Catholic Church is. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. If you're Catholic, you know it deep down. You can't lie to yourself. You can lie to your neighbor. You can lie to the guy across the street, down the road. You can lie to the police. You can't lie to yourself. At some point, your inner self is going to know that you're bullcrapping. So if you want to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to follow anyone good or any kind of a figure that you think is going to help you in your life, then do it and do good works and help people. So I'm reading the story about this caravan of people from Central America, or I think it was, Central America, South America, Honduras, whatever, mainly down there. And then, they've been marching, coming up through Mexico for weeks now, over a month, maybe a month and a half, maybe even 2 months. Then they finally got to the U.S. border. Of course, Trump is very anti-immigration when it comes to that type of thing. And a lot of people support that because there's been so many years of just, well, whatever, we'll just take people in willy-nilly, it doesn't matter. And, there's an element where you got to be able to help people, but also you got to be able to help yourself. And if you don't help yourself, you can't help people, you know. So there's a right way of doing something and a wrong way of doing something. But I'm reading this article, and, you know, most of the caravan had been dispersed. Mexico said to these people they can live in Mexico, but they don't want to do that because a lot of people don't want to live in Mexico. It's like the fourth most dangerous country in the world, and it's our border, you know. And it behooves us to help them because it's our border. Building a wall is a way to keep people out, kind of, but helping people stand on their own. You don't give them, you help them, and they stand on their own, and then that creates a strength beyond the wall, right? So, but this group of people, they're going to turn them away, and then, you know, American laws, if they're escaping some kind of war, some kind of a terrible thing, calamity, that we take them in and we process them that way, you know? So it's just become this push and pull. And then at this point, a lot of the ones that left, the women and children. So I'm reading this article. I'm reading back and forth of all the different opinions, Jeff Sessions and Trump and all that. And I definitely have my own opinions on it. And I said to myself, like, what would Jesus do, man? You know what I mean? You picture Jesus sitting there and turn people away. Sorry, we're closed. See you later, man. You'll find your salvation in Mexico City. Yeah? Hasta la vista. Nah, I don't consider that. But unfortunately, it's not a utopian world. It's not the kind of world that can have open arms all the time because of mainly the population problem throughout the world. There's a huge population problem. There are countries that have just too many people. And then they have abject poverty, and then they have more and more kids. And that creates a bigger problem, right? So that's the political end of it. But I want to talk about any life out there that's, And also, you know what, when people talk about aliens, they tend to say that there's these benevolent creatures, you know? But yet, all these movies I've seen about aliens shows them as, like, face-eating creatures, whatever, face-eating monsters that eat your brains. What's the difference between that and the relationship that we have with chickens? You know what I mean? yeah, there are some people that don't eat chicken. And those chickens would probably be pretty safe around those people. But there's a lot of people that do eat chickens, and there's animals that eat chickens. My neighbor across the street had all these award-winning chickens. I don't even know how you can have award-winning chickens. That's great. They're wealthy people. They drive Mercedes. They have a chicken coop mansion in their yard. So I was like, you know, there's a lot of coyotes around here and foxes, you know. I mean, there's nature. There's bobcats. There's bear. They're rare, but there's bear. There's all kinds of stuff, is what I'm saying. There's also turkey vultures, you know, that type of thing. So, lo and behold, like a couple weeks ago, I'm driving down the street, about to pull my driveway, and one of them flagged me down the street. And I was like, what's going on? You know, they're all right. You know, can we go in your backyard and look for our chickens? They're missing. I'm like, missing? And I'll tell you, I'm from New York City, man. Long Island, actually. But I was in the city, lived in the city the whole bit. I know about chicken, like, if it's 8-piece with a bucket of fries, you know, that's the chicken I know about. Now, since I've been living upstate New York for over 20 years, 22 years, I know a lot of people with farms. My sister now has a farm. She has her own chickens. She feeds the chickens. So I have a Long Island Poochie Mama wearing a little rabbit coat to, like, raising rabbits, or, you know, raising chickens anyway. So I know more about chickens now than I did, but I'm not a chicken flicker, chicken picker. I understand. And I still know about my 8-piece extra crispy with the bucket of fries, right? And, or hush puppies, man. Love it. I'm a chicken eater. I'm not going to see y'all. I tried being a vegetarian for a whole year. I ate chicken twice. I'm a chicken eater. Chickens can look at me and be fearful. They could say, that dude over there looks like he'll eat me. And they're totally right. Now, the deer, they're pretty safe. Pigs, safe as can be. You know, cows, I like a good burger and steak. You know what I mean? I'm not the kind of person that dice up a cow, though. If I had to do it, I couldn't do it. I could run over a chicken. You know, man, if you get off a chicken. And I don't know about slicing his head off, I could run the thing over. Feel bad for a little while, and, you know, eat it. So I told the guy across the street, who has award-winning chickens, but he doesn't know anything about chickens. I was like, you know, they don't get out. Like, even if they get out, even if you open a little door for them, they don't go far. Chickens will go down by the road. They're looking at stuff to eat, man. Worms, you know, whatever. So, whatever's on the ground they want to munch on. So, I said they didn't get out. Something got in. And at first they lost two. I think they had like 8. And I'm like, you know, I said, I saw coyote tracks in my backyard. So I walked my dog through the backyard. And it was like a muddy area. And I noticed there was coyote tracks, pretty fresh. Big ones too. And I said, it looked like there was a pair. It looked like there was two that went through there. So I said, you know, I told them the next day, I'm like, there was coyote tracks in my backyard. Keep an eye out for coyotes. And a coyote will, it's a large dog. It's like the size of a German Shepherd. A coyote will tear that thing open, that chicken coop. But the guy only had like, this really light plastic mesh of a fence line. Well, you can't use that. You need like chicken wire. That's why they make it. So, and you have to secure it. Otherwise, the coyotes are not going to stay out. And a coyote, even with chicken wire, if they want something bad enough, they're going to rip it open. And the coyotes around here, the coyotes in general, they hunt as a team, male, female. And one kind of circles around as a lookout, and the other one goes for it. So it made sense that there were two coyotes and two chickens missing within that time frame. And the next day, they lost more chickens, though, day later, because the coyotes went through their meal, and they knew that they had chickens. But what's pissing other people in the neighborhood off who don't have chickens, because they're the only guys with chickens, really, is that it's attracting the coyotes. Because otherwise they would be, you know, down the road in the woods. And they really don't have much of a reason to go through a neighborhood. And, you know, people lock up their trash around here and the whole bit. So, but there's also foxes, and foxes are foxes, and they like chickens too. And there's also fisher cats, which are really nasty. They're nasty. They're big. They're like a wolverine or a weasel family. Big. Fisher cats can go 4 feet long with their tail. Pretty big. So a lot of stuff running around. You know what I mean? It's the country. Yeah? In the city, you got other stuff. You got rats. You have other types of things. There's been coyotes in New York City. You know, they film them in Central Park sometimes. Say, hey, look at that coyote. My Native American name is actually Howling Coyote. I should use it more often. It really does make sense. You're really your name for what you are, basically, and that's pretty much me. But so in the world of trying to understand life and creatures and aliens and ghosts, think of dimensional energy. So, you know, you die, you go into your spirit form, you go into another dimension. And that dimension, you can see parts of it here. So when we see a ghost, when we see that, and someone's trying to contact us, we're seeing basically the parts of it. Check out the YouTube video of Carl Sagan when he discusses four-dimensional energy. It's mind-blowing. It really is, because he kind of lays it right down as fact that if something, that four-dimensional space tried to present itself to us, we wouldn't be able to see it. We could see its contact points, but we wouldn't be able to see it. And that's pretty amazing, I think. I don't know about you guys. I love Carl Sagan, and always thought he was a brilliant genius. And more than that, a huge pothead. You got to respect that about a scientist, man. You know, his father-in-law said the best time he ever had in his life was smoking pot with Carl Sagan. I can say that because they're both deceased now. I don't think anybody's going to sue me over it. So, but it's what he said to me personally. So there it is, man. You got to respect that. So let's talk about the problem with everything, right? We've gone past unified theory and the problems with unified theory, unity. Now we're talking about the problem with everything. In order to add gravity to the unified theory, you need the theory of everything. But the problem with everything is that the universe is accelerating. Two separate groups, the Supernova Cosmology Project and the Hi-Z Supernova Search Team, discovered that the universe is accelerating as it expands by measuring the consistent of brightness of supernova bursts in distant galaxies. The discovery confirmed Einstein's cosmological constant, which means that there is an anti-gravity force pushing against gravity on a cosmological scale. And think about it, that light is traveling at the speed of light, which is the only thing that we basically exist in. And however long it takes that light to get to our planet is what you can judge, but you really can't make timelines out of it, because who says that time is constant? It's constant to us, like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, but who says that time itself, aside from those numbers on the clock, that time itself can't go faster or slower? Because there's plenty of days where people say to me, man, this day is going so slow, I can't believe it. Oh, what the hell, painstaking. And when I put that out there, basically everybody agrees. Or, man, this day has gone so fast, the week has gone so fast, I can't believe it. So I think that there's an element to that can, maybe time goes a little faster, time goes a little slower. But we don't experience it as that number time, right? All right. According to Einstein, the anti-gravity force needs to be uniform and spread out to the universe, right? Exactly like the universe of the void of space, which means the nothing is something. Well, obviously, if the universe is expanding, it's got to be expanding into something. And if it's expanding into something, what is it expanding into? And if it gets to a point where it hits a wall, what's on the other side? Maybe Donald Trump, right? All right, let me cut to the chase. So we have determined that the theory of everything must include strong force, weak force, electromagnetic force, the force of gravity, and the force of anti-gravity. But is that all? Even with gravity and anti-gravity added, the theory of everything would still be without time and space. Both of these forces interact with matter and need to be included as well. The theory of everything must include everything, which means everything. Now, Lao Tzu said, here's those Lao Tzu moments. Lao Tzu said that there's no difference between anything. People, birds, bees, clouds, that we're all part of the same thing, right? And that we call the Tao. The Tao means a threshold. The Tao is literally being in the doorway of life. On one side, on the other side, doesn't matter, is the void. The thing that you're in right now is the Tao. So you're riding the wave of light. That's what we say in Taoism. It's an old saying. It's thousands of years old, as a matter of fact. Riding the wave of light, right? Okay. Let's talk quickly about the problems with the universe. The theory of everything also has another problem. There is something wrong with the universe. First, we know the Big Bang happened around 13.7 billion years ago, they think. But if it happened in a three-dimensional universe, then we should be able to see a spherical blast cloud emanating from Universal Central. But that is not what we observe. In our telescopes, we see a universe with no center and no end. We see a universe filled with clusters of galaxies spread somewhat evenly throughout. Everything must include everything, even the impossible. The second problem with the universe is that our telescopes can only observe visible light back to around 13 billion years ago, they think. And then it goes all dark. No matter which direction you point, behind the darkness is the Big Bang explosion, which we experience as the cosmic background radiation, the CBR. It is coming at us from every direction. The Big Bang and Universal Central emanate from all directions. Thus, we appear to be at the center of the universe, and everything is coming at us. Everything must include everything, even the absurd. So now, if you look at religion, they'll say we're the center of the universe. A lot of people laugh saying that we can't be the center of the universe. Okay, that's fine. The third problem with the universe is that according to fluctuations in the image of the CBR from the Wilkins Microwave Anisotropy Probe, all of the energy of the cosmos is a product of the Big Bang, both matter and void, yin and yang. Do you hear what I'm saying? The universe did not explode into an infinite void. Matter and void were created together and are expanding and accelerating together. Everything must include everything, even the insane. So Lao Tzu said the 10,000 things rise and fall every day without cease. It's like a breathing motion happens automatically, something that is other than the things that we can even focus on. It is the heartbeat of the universe. It is the reason why things exist, period, end of sentence, right? I'm going to skip ahead because we could talk about gravity bubbles. I think we're going to have to do a whole other show on this, man, because there's just too much to get to. Weak force and everything. All right. This one, because I already talked about surfing the wave of light, is an old Taoist saying. Okay, we're going to talk about surfing the waves of time. The cosmos is collapsing. According to the acceleration, it seems to be collapsing from zero to infinity since it is accelerating in that direction. The collapse should have been instantaneous, but it was interrupted by the repulsion between 3D matter and the 4D void. The repelling slowed the collapse down, but it did not stop it. The collapse continues as a fifth dimensional time wave, which we are surfing as the perpetual now. We are in the Tao. I just told you that. That's what we're in. We're surfing the wave of light. Photons are riding the waves of time as well. They are rays of one-dimensional energy, but they are neither infinite nor straight because they are being restricted by the force of time. The wave of time which the photon is behind keeps it from being straight by slowing it down to the speed of light, which bends the ray into a wave. The wave turns the ray into three-dimensional photon, which is how they can be both physical and non-physical, and it also allows them to interact with matter. The wave of time, after it keeps the photon from being infinite by nipping it off, thus the waves of time are as long as a photon, and the speed of light is actually the speed of time. Imagine that. I mean, that's like, that you have to sit there and think about for a while. It's mind-blowing. So the waves of time seem to stir the dark energy to create the percolating void, as no void is truly a void. Even in the nothingness, there is something, because tiny leptons pop in and out of existence all the time, everywhere. So, in yin and yang, you see dark and light coexisting. People say opposing each other, but it's coexisting. And within both are little circles of each other. So in that black yang, you're going to see the white yin. In the white yin, you're going to see the black yang. To me, this is a perfect representation of that. You know, when you're trying to figure out how things work in our universe. So the speed of time may be a constant speed right now, but is it constant? The accelerating universe means that time is getting faster. We have already been cut off from parts of our history because of the acceleration, as we can only see back to around 13 billion years ago, and then it goes dark. We are cut off almost from almost a billion years of time because we've accelerated past the light coming from then back to it now from the Big Bang. It is still there, but it has gone down a frequency to a microwave, the CBR. So the accelerating universe is why we have a black sky at night. So, wow, man, I'm going to run out of time, but I want to talk about, we're going to have to cover this because there's just too much to go by. We'll do a part two to this one. I'm going to talk about this. Jim Morrison said, there is no eternal reward that will forgive us now for wasting the dawn. So you be a good person. You do good things in life. You do good works. When it comes to that type of energy and putting that type of good energy out there, it spreads around. You don't have to think about that we're on this molten lava ball hurtling through space at hundreds of thousands of miles per hour, because we're hurtling around the sun. And that whole thing, first of all, the Earth is spinning, then going around the sun, then the acceleration of the universe, we're all traveling together, moving pretty quickly. It makes you feel like a flea on the dog a little bit, but it also makes you realize how much we need each other in this world, on this planet, how much people need each other. And when I'm looking at pictures of space or probes that are out of space, they're looking back at Earth, and they take these photographs, this little blue dot, this little blue Earth, I think about all the civilizations, all the history, all the stuff that's happened, you know. I mean, even on the individual basis, you know, all the love, all the passion, all the anger, all the fear, everything, right? All thrown together in one little place. And it's, you know, in the quietude of space, the vacuum of space is watching this little blue dot. And so many people are suffering. So many people are doing poorly. We have poverty. We have things like that. I think of all these things, and I think that it's sickening because others have so much, and we can all have so much, and people don't even need much if you think about it. you know. But when it comes down to, I'm going to get off of that. When it comes down to extraterrestrial life, would you trust you? You know, people like, how come these aliens don't come and pop the hatch and say, hey, would you trust you? Would you trust people at this stage of the game? Or if we are part of that life, you know, if it's what I think it is, and humans have been kind of bred and we're part of that life, what level do we really have to get to before we can progress? And that's the word, progress, progression, you know? Where do we have to go to, right? And then are there aliens among us? There are ghosts among us. But that's just another version of energy and where that energy goes. Maybe it gets recycled because it's people's past lives and future lives. And then it gets recycled to what point? For what purpose? And if there's extraterrestrial life, what's important to them? If it's, you know, look at the claptrap, it's important to people, you know, getting laid, drinking, you know, TV, watching Roseanne or something. I mean, if that's your life, some people are musical, some people are really talented, some people have a lot of bursting to come out of them, some people aren't. Some people are happy with Cheese Whiz sitting on the couch and watching the Blues Brothers, you know what I mean? But when I'm watching TV, now this is going to sound like the weird part. Well, if I'm flipping around, I don't watch a lot of TV. The extent of me watching TV, I used to watch The Walking Dead. I don't watch it anymore. It got ridiculous. And then I binge watch sometimes on Netflix. Only one show anyway so far, the Z Nation, you know, recently anyway, which is cool. It's so bad it's good. It's one of those shows. And then sometimes I'll flip together. I'll watch the news, but it's not the news. I'll watch the tabloid news. I'll flip past CNN or Fox or one of those. And I'll stop there. I look at these people talking. I'm like, this is like aliens to me. You know, you ever feel like doesn't that sound crazy? You ever watch, come on, Shepard Smith on Fox? Tell me he's not an alien. And I'm not making fun of the guy. I'm saying the guy's an alien. You know, and I just outed Men in Black going to come here and then try to chase me down. They're going to see what a 12 gauge looks like. But I'm telling you, Shepard Smith, and there's other people on CNN. There's people that you look at, Fox, CNN. Come on, Rachel Madcow. You can be telling me that she's not an alien. If Rachel Maddow came out tomorrow and said, hey, I'm an alien, I would not be shocked. I would be like, of course you are. You know what? When Anderson Cooper came out gay, well, of course you are. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? Yeah. You were in the closet. You're hiding from people. You know, same as the other one, Don Lemon. You know, I don't care what your damn sexuality is. The fact that you need to share your sexuality with me tells me you have a problem. You know what I mean? I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't know what people do in their damn private life. I don't care. I'm just saying, Rachel Maddow, alien, Shepard Smith, alien, and they're from like different parts of the universe. You know, and those reptilians I hear about, I could definitely look at Chris Matthews and say, hey, man, you know, Chris Matthews, I think, is human, you know. But there's others. I'll make a list for you guys and put it on Facebook or something. I'll put it out there on the website of who I think an alien is and who's not. But there's I have a list. I have quite a list. You know what I mean? So I'm going to end that with that. And in your dimensional energy, in my dimensional energy, I'm going to pop into the next dimension and go off the air. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. And this is United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7. Pastor Christian saying, don't get probed by Shepard Smith tonight. Good night.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards helping first responders. Try the new pastrami Reuben, loaded with hot pastrami, sweet and tangy slaw, and melted Swiss. For a limited time, get a medium pastrami Reuben for just $6.39. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Think you're too busy to train for a new career? Virginia College offers career training designed for you. The family provider, the busy mom, the time crunched, the double shift worker. Whoever you are, no matter how busy you are, if you want a new career, a better life, we can help make it work. With work, with family, with life. Get started today at Virginia College. Visit vc.edu. Learn at the speed of life.